Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Thank you so much for joining me today. How you doing?
Doing great. It's a good day here. Weekend is here. Friday, and on Wednesday. That's my joke of the day.
I like it. It's a good joke. So I'm really excited about this new album. I'm digging the new single. The lead single especially, and the album itself, feels like it's an ode to 80s sleaze and a love letter to the fuck you spirit of that time. What is it about the era of sleaze and shock that appeals to you the most?
I was a kid during that time. I was born in 1976, so 84 to 86 was a prime time for me. You know, seeing Twisted Sister, Motley Crue, not saying seeing them, but on MTV, coming in as what the fuck is this? But seeing that, but being into what's behind me, G.I. Joe and He-Man and all of this 80s stuff, it was all brand new and it was my world. So for me, I've never grown out of this stuff. This is what's around me all the time. It's just one little portion of my place here that's just, I'm surrounded by this stuff. And when I write and create, this stuff's around me. And I write what I see. And that's, so if you're hearing that, you're hearing what I'm surrounded by. This is what I do. And that satanic panic of the 80s was a real deal. And growing up in the Bible Belt of North Carolina, it felt really real. Watching my mom go through my brother's vinyl and going through my stuff to make sure there was no pentagrams on it. And it was a real thing. People were terrified of it. And you don't have that element of danger anymore. So it's just, for me, it's great to remind myself of it. And when I could put out a record like this and remind people of that as well, that remember it or heard of it, it's just something. I'm just a reflection of all my influences and my past. And I celebrate it in my music. There's not a lot of people that do what I do, or do it the way I do. So I find what I do unique, and I'm excited for this new record. This is another album number 10 of uniqueness.
I love the fact that you talked about growing up in the Bible Belt and your mom digging through your brother's vinyls.
Yeah.
How did she first respond when you started coming out with this aesthetic? How did she react to it?
I don't think it was that shocking, because it's been a long time coming, just in little doses. You know, my brother, which is crazy because he's not into this at all and grew out of it quickly, but I just embraced it. He showed me all these vinyls. He played Shout at the Devil. He played Number of the Beast on the giant sound system that he had that shook the little single wide trailer that we lived in. It spoke to me, you know, so that was just again, I'll never forget that stuff. And my mom was super concerned of what I was listening to and what he was listening to. And, but yeah, like I said, when I started getting into this, and as I became a teenager, and, you know, I wasn't even a teenager when I was watching this stuff, inappropriate ages, I guess, but it's what created me. And so I don't think it was that odd of a thing when I turned out looking like, my mom will always see her boy, you know, her baby boy, no matter what I look like, is just, she could put me beside of Alice Cooper and everyone else that I've ripped their imagery off and where I get my whole aesthetic from. And she would look at me and go, look at that guy. Oh, and then there's my boy. And I'm like, oh. So she'd never see it any other way.
My mom tells me it doesn't matter how old I get. She'll always see me as the little 3-year-old boy running around the house.
True. I'm the same way with my daughter too. She's my daughter will be 27 soon. And it's just like, you always be 3 in my mind, you know?
Now, you mentioned Alice Cooper. How did Alice shape you as an artist? And what was it about his blend of shock imagery that appealed to you so much?
Again, it goes back to what I saw as a kid and that first impact, that first, you know, how you see something, you know, what strikes you. So as a kid growing up in the 80s, we had one television in the house. There was the one big TV, and I sit right in front of it, usually watching G.I. Joe. My parents would come home. They'd turn the TV and they'd put it on. There's a show called People's Court. which was a big show in the 80s. It's still I think it's still a big show. But that was like the adult show. And I would be like, oh boy, here comes the adult show. But I'm still in the middle of the floor, literally playing with my G.I. Joe figures, you know, making them fight. And a commercial comes on, and it was for Alice Cooper's comeback tour, The Nightmare Returns. And I remember the commercial. It was like, The Nightmare Returns to the Charlotte Coliseum. Alice Cooper, lightning bolts. And then the eye, you see the black, and it was like, The Nightmare Returns, Alice Cooper, and you see the snake, and you see all, and they're showing a quick commercial of all of his gimmicks in the 30 seconds, and I am just like, what is this? And my mom look over the shoulder, and I go, who is she? And my mom says, oh, that's the man that bites the heads off chickens and snakes. And I went, really? Then became the investigation. Called my friend. Hey, you ever heard of Alice Cooper? It's a man. It's a guy. It's not a girl. Yeah, my uncle's got his cassettes. Oh, really? Oh, they're creepy, man. We'd start the stories you hear. I heard he bites the heads off snakes. That's what I heard, too. And he brought those cassettes over. And I remember looking at the cover of Goes to Hell and all this stuff. And you were just creeped out being in the Bible Belt. This whole thing, you know, is just this. And sitting in the dark listening to that, we were terrified. We were terrified listening to it. We didn't know why. No idea why. And that's what, it was the same as the horror movie. And I just, this love for it. And once I realized I could play guitar and do it, it was on. And then when, you know, I started off as a guitar player in a band. I was going to be a guitar player. I wanted to be Ace Frehley. I wanted to be the guitar player. Didn't really think about being the front guy because I didn't think I could sing. And then they couldn't find a front guy, so I became the singer. And what do? I just imitate Alice. So that's what I did. And then I developed my own voice by trying to imitate him at times because I just knew him the best. And that's where it started. And then it comes full circle where I start touring with him in 2005 on my first album. And now he's a friend of mine. He did the guest guest introduction on my album in 2019, where I had him basically do the Vincent Price sort of thing that he did. Vincent Price did on his record in 76. So it's just, I've become really good friends with Alice and his family and his band and over the years. My first time meeting Alice Cooper, I tried to sneak in to meet Alice Cooper in 2001. He finally played in South Carolina close to me, and I snuck backstage. I got 10 feet from him, and they literally jumped on me like I was an assassin or something and threw me out. And I'm not even joking. A year later, I was on tour with Murder Dolls, opening up for him in Belgium at a festival in front of 150,000 people. It was like, and his dressing room was right there, and I could see the dressing room. And I'm just like, I'm going to meet him today. Ain't nobody going to stop me today. And I met his daughter. I met his band guys. I became friends with all of them, and I was like, please, just please let me, can I meet him? Just let me meet him. I got to meet him. I got to meet this guy. So they introduced me to him, and he came on, went on his bus and met him. And he's just been a friend ever since. He's been a fan of the band. He's taken us on tour multiple times with Wednesday 13 and Murder Dolls. And when it came time for that record, it was just one of those things where I've been asking him to do this since 2008. It took about 10 years of asking. He was going to do the intro on the last Murder Dolls. And last minute, Joey didn't want that to happen on the record. And luckily it didn't, because it ended up happening on mine. But yeah, Alice has been a good friend, and he's still an inspiration to me. The guy he'll outlive me.
I understand that you're picking up the guitar again for this new album coming out. What inspired you to pick up the guitar again after all this time?
On this record particularly, going into this record, my longtime guitarist and I had parted ways. So he had been sort of my musical director for the last decade with my records. And when it came to writing music, even though I was still very involved in writing, when it came to the studio, I let all the guitar work for my guitar players. And I just did the vocals, and I was still very involved in it, but I wasn't playing as much. So when it came back for this record, I really went back with the mentality I had for my first album, because when I did my first album, there was no band. It was Wednesday 13 in his basement in North Carolina, trying to find something to do when Murder Dolls took a break. And I'm going, what am I going to do? I'm not going to go back to my day job. I'm going to write music. I had myself and my brain and a drum machine, my guitar, and I went, go. I started writing, and that's what I did on this. I went back by myself and I wrote everything by myself from scratch, the way I did my first album. Then I brought the music to the band and we worked the arrangements out, went in the studio and recorded it. That's what was different about this record, because I literally wrote everything from scratch. And then when I went in the studio, I didn't think I was going to play guitar on everything, but I ended up playing guitar on every song, rhythm on everything. And then I ended up doing guitar solos on it. So I was very much as much a guitar player on this record as I was the vocals. And I haven't did that since my first few albums. So this new album has got more in common with my first three than my last three.
And I kind of felt that too, just with the whole vibe of it. It feels like a return to the early albums. Bad Things has always been one of my favorite songs of yours, because you're just going through this imagination of all these things that you wish that would happen to this person. Was there a particular event in your life that inspired this, or is this like an amalgamation of people that you don't like?
You know, it's exactly what you said. It's funny, because when you're listening to the lyrics of that, you're visualizing these things. But in a funny way. I always sprinkle comedy on my tragedy. It's never just all that. I can't ever do that. You know, so with that song, I never put someone's name on it. I would never give someone the satisfaction of saying, this song is about you. I want bad things to happen. No, it's bad things that happen to you. You fill in the blank. And it's for the listener to fill in that blank too. The only thing that I lyrically took a visual from a movie in that song, when I say, I want a car to run over your head, put it in reverse and do it again. Where I got that imagery from is from an actual movie, and the Toxic Avenger in the beginning of that movie, before they run over a person and a bike. And I remember seeing this as a kid, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. They ran over this dude, and then they look in the rear view and they're like, oh man, he's still alive. And they put it in reverse and they smashed this dude's head, and it looks like a birthday cake. It's just so comedic. And I couldn't believe what I was watching. And there's your lyric takes. That's the only thing I think I took from a real situation. But that song is meant to fill in the blank for anybody. It's not my personal song, but it could be your personal song.
And let's talk about some of those horror movies of your youth. What are some of your favorite 80s, 90s, and 2000s horror movies?
I always say the last horror movies maybe The Ring, was that late 90s, that early 2000s maybe? So that's when I kind of sort of dropped. Honestly, I just dropped out. I don't know what's going on in the horror world these days, but I just stick with what I know, and I'm constantly rewatching and watching the old ones again. My favorite stuff, always Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Return of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Nightmare on Elm Street, the first few of those, The Shining. There's just Creepshow. I could keep going. All those are like my favorites. And again, all those songs, I think, or all those movies, I think I've wrote songs about. I've pretty much covered the bases on just about everything.
And one of your brethren, Rob Zombie, has now directed multiple horror flicks. Given your passion for that era of horror, is there any chance that we might be able to see you write a script or even sitting in a director's chair sometime soon?
100%. That's the next. I've been saying it for a long time, but I literally just had an hour long conversation with my video guy. So the guy that does all my music videos, directs them, edits them, I've been using him for over 5 years now, a guy named Vicente. He's become a good friend of mine, and we've just been talking about doing a movie. And we literally the other day were like, all right, we're going to make it happen this year. We've been talking about it for, let's do it. So it's the next step for me. It's got to happen. I've got a bunch of ideas. I know how to make music videos. I know what it's calling me. I think it's time to do it. But yes, you will see that next. I think you may see that before the next album. Who knows?
On this new album, we've heard the lead single. Single's fantastic. What is another song on the album that you're really excited for people to hear?
The second single is coming March 18th, the song In Misery. And it was one of my favorites on the record. I remember when I wrote the song, it was kind of just an accident. Like I was working on something else, and I literally just was watching a commercial on TV and the riff came up and I just, that became the focus. And then that became the song. And within an hour I went, I think I've wrote a good one here. I was excited, but there's no one around me to hear it. And I was like, all right. Okay, I'll finish this and the band will get over here and do it. And so it was just a catchy song instantly. And it instantly reminded me of My Transylvania, my first album. It's just, It's in that league. And even the riff is kind of a little nod to the Transylvania title track. You may hear and go, whoa, I feel like I've heard that. And then it just totally changes. It just totally turns the channel into this new song. And I struggled on the idea this was going to be the first single because I knew that my diehard fans are going to love the video. They're going to love the song. And I feel like it's more representative of a Wednesday 13 song. Whereas A Devil Commands, I knew my fans would like it, but I also knew that other people that maybe didn't know they liked us would like us. So that first video was for everybody, whereas this next one is deliberately for my fans that know my past and everything.
Going way back to the beginning of our conversation, you talked about all the fun rumors that flew around about Alice Cooper and all the stories. Thinking back on your legacy, if you look to your future, what is one hilarious or false rumor about you that you would love to make it into the lexicon to troll future biographers?
Oh my God. People using my real name is the worst thing. And I don't know where it started because, you know, it's online. My name is Joseph. Never denied that. It's just what it is. But about 10 years ago, the press started with Joseph Poole. Like every fucking article starts off on it. And I'm like, stop doing that. Just why do you do that? And it's become something that I cannot control. And I don't know why. And that's the whole reason I called myself Wednesday 13. I didn't want to be Joseph Poole in these. It doesn't sound as good. That logo would not be as cool as this. I've tried it. But yeah, that's the one thing that's a little frustrating. I'm just like, but other people don't know. They just think Wednesday 13 is the name of the band. They don't know it was mine. So again, as long as people are just talking to me, I guess that's the best thing. When they're not talking to me or talking about me, then that's the problem. So little things like that.
Well, hey, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. It's been such an awesome conversation. For thank everyone you. Who's listening in, make sure you check out the new album, Mid-Death Crisis. It's coming out soon. He is showing you the album art now. Thank you again for joining us. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you.